We are studying about Christmas, what the Christmas is all about. We learned last week what was the situation before Jesus Christ came into this world. No one was worshiping God, no one was looking for God, everyone was doing their own things. The Word of God says, Jesus Christ came in due time. This was not the accident or was not ordinary coming. This was planned by God. Before Jesus Christ came, there were so many prophecies about Jesus Christ. One of the prophets, Prophet Isaiah, almost 700 to 800 before Jesus Christ came, prophesied about Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Verses 2 and...
The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Now when you read the verse 2, the people that walk in the darkness have seen a great light. And they that walked in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shine. So he is trying to say the same way like we studied last week, book of Psalm chapter 14 and book of Romans chapter 3. The situation before Jesus Christ came into this world. He says there was all darkness. When there is sin, there is a darkness. People do not do sin in the light, but now people are having so calluses, they do sin in the light also. But originally, people were doing all the sin in the darkness. And we believe that the devil is the one who brings the darkness into this world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and I believe the devil is the darkness of the world. Now when you see the second verse when we're reading, the people who are dying without God and without Christ, God is going to give them new life. If you remember Zechariah, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1, start reading from verse 67 to 75. Zechariah, when he saw the vision, he was praying for the son. An angel comes and gives him a good news. And he doubted. The angel said, you will be mute until your son is born. His son was born. Zechariah started prophesying. Let's read.
And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Okay, now when his son was born, and Zechariah is prophesying, and people might be sitting there and didn't understand what he was saying. Let's read the verse 67 first.
And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people.
Okay, he has visited and redeemed his people. He was saying that God is going to come and visit his people, and he is going to redeem his people.
and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Okay, when he says, he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us. When you say a horn, the bull has the horns, and some other animal who has the horns, you know they fight with their horns. So he says, hath raised up an horn of salvation. This horn has power to deliver us from the powers of the devil. That's what this horn did on the cross of Calvary, defeated the enemy. And so Jesus Christ has saved us, delivered us, and he is called the horn of salvation. Horn also was used in the olden days to anoint people. They would take the horn and put the oil of anointing and anoint somebody. So Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Jesus Christ is the one who can defeat the enemy and who can redeem us from the enemy's hand. He said, God has raised the horn of salvation. When Jesus Christ came into this world, there was a darkness. The people were dying. People didn't have a hope. But now God is going to redeem us and give us the salvation and save us from the enemy's hand. So the Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the life and the light. Without light, there is no life. So the light is Jesus Christ. Go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading verse 4 and 5.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
In him, whom? In Jesus Christ. There was a light, and that light was the life of mankind. And then he says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does it mean? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came to give life to the world, but the darkness already was on earth, right? That means the devil was ruling in this earth. He was the king of darkness, but that darkness had no power to overcome the light. That's what he's saying. That darkness could not defeat the light. That darkness was not able to quench the light. The darkness doesn't have power to quench the light. But the light has power to remove the darkness. You can go to any dark room and put the light and the darkness goes away. If there is a room with a light, you cannot bring the darkness from somewhere and put it in that room and darken the room. You cannot do that. The same way he says there was a darkness. We saw that the darkness was upon the earth. When the Isaiah said, read that one more time, Isaiah 9 verse 2.
People that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
So people were walking in darkness, and they were walking in the shadow of death, means the death was hanging over their head. And that's the situation was there before Jesus Christ came. There was no one can give them life. There was no one can give them light. There was no one can redeem mankind. Even though God gave them so many prophets, but there was no one to redeem mankind and give eternal life. So the Jesus Christ came, the Word of God says, he came into the world when the world was in darkness. And the world was dying without God and without Christ. Jesus Christ came as a light. And like John said, that light was the life of mankind. Now it is proven, wherever the darkness is, there is a disease. Wherever the darkness is, there is no life. And so life comes with the light. And Jesus Christ is the light who gives us life. Jesus Christ, when he was in this earth, what did he say? Let's read. Book of St. John chapter 8 verse 12.
And spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
See, Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. People do not understand yet. If you are really in the darkness, if you are really dying or struggling for life, he says, just follow me. If you follow me, you will have the light, and you will have the life, and you will not walk in darkness again. It is very simple. Just follow the Lord. But people do not understand. What do you mean following the Lord? Following the Lord is not like, you know, go to the Israel or Jerusalem and people say, let's go and walk where the Jesus walked. You go to Jerusalem 10,000 times and you walk all over the land and come home. You are not going to get saved until you say yes to Jesus Christ. There are all the people, are Muslim people are walking in that land, and Jewish people are walking on that land day and night. They are not getting saved. When Jesus says, follow me, what does it mean? Follow me what I say, or do what I say, or do what I do. That is following Christ. When he says, if you follow Christ, or if you follow me, you will not live in darkness, or you will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light. And that light is what? Light of life. That means you will have that life eternal. That light no one has power to quench. We just heard in St. John, he says, darkness did not have power to destroy the light. Devil has no power to destroy you. But if you allow devil to destroy you, he will. Once you are born again, child of God, you have power over the enemy. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Read the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Now, what he's saying, ye are of God, little children. He said, even though you are a child of God, little child means what? Just born again, child of God. Just think you are just born today. Just think you receive Jesus Christ today and you are a little baby in Christ Jesus, but you are greater than the enemy. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in you. The God the Father, the God the Son lives in you the day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are a powerhouse. You are a powerful man of God or a woman of God once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you have power over him, because he says the greater one lives within you. So the devil has no power over you. He cannot quench your spirit. He cannot destroy you. He cannot do anything to you. You do not have to be afraid of devil. What the word of God says, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. They did not have anything covering their back. All the soldiers, they have all the instrument in their hands, in your chest and neck and head and foot and everywhere, but nothing covering back. If you turn your back to enemy, then he will attack you. So when you have all the power of God in you or with you, you cannot be defeated. You cannot run from devil. You put devil to flight. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God has given us that power. Jesus Christ did his work and he did not allow devil to defeat him. He defeated the devil. Somebody might be thinking, oh, when he was on the cross, devil defeated him. No, that was the battle. And Jesus won the battle. Okay.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
See, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then somebody said, then when Jesus Christ is gone, the light is gone. No. He says, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. And he wondered, if I'm gone, I'm going to pass the torch to you. Right? Jesus Christ said, I am in the world. And what he did, we say, as long as I am in this world, and what? He did the work. When he said that, when he healed the blind man, you have to go and read the whole thing. When he healed the blind man, he said, I am the light of the world. And so what he was trying to say, blind man, you are living in darkness. Devil has done this, but I am going to give you light. And then disciples were listening. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. And they saw he is doing signs and wonders and miracles. And then they might be thinking, when Jesus Christ will be gone, what would happen? The darkness again? No, go to the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
See, first of all, he says, you are the light of the world. And then what he says, if you are light of the world, where do you keep the candle? Or where do you keep the light? You don't keep under the table, or you don't put under the bushel. If you keep it, what happened? It's gone. So he said, the light should be shining on the top of the hill. Let the whole world see. What he's trying to say, you are the light of the world, and now you're going to shine when I'm gone. That's what he was trying to say. That's what he's saying in St. John chapter 14 and verse 12. We'll come back to this.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now what is trying to say? I'm telling you, whatever the works I'm doing, you will be able to do it. And then what? Greater works than what I'm doing. That is the greatest promise anyone can have. Jesus Christ says, whatever I did, you will do. Means equal. And then you will do greater things than I did. How much more power we need. Whatever we want to do, we can do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Go back to the Matthew chapter 5 and start from verse 14.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Okay, now he said, you are the light of the world. And if the city is built on the hill, it's not going to hide. It means everyone would know that city on the mountain top. So what he's trying to say, your life should be like a city on the mountain top. Our life is a life of God. We don't have to hide. We don't have to run for our life. We face the problem. The devil has to go to flight. They can kill your body, but they cannot kill your spirit. So God has given us victory over the demonic forces. So he says, if there is a city, that city has to be on top of the hill, and that city cannot be hidden, because we are the children of God, so we should not be walking like defeated ones, right? If somebody is the policeman's son, he says, my dad is a policeman. If you are a governor's son, my dad is a governor. If you are a president's son, you say, my father is a president. They are so proud, they are the son of some higher authorities. How much we should be proud that my dad is God.
Amen.
My dad is the one who holds the whole universe. Amen. When you go to buy some property or something, they say, do you have money to buy it? What do you say? Yes, sir. My father is a rich man, and I have no problem getting money. So our God is a rich God. Our God is a good God. And he said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I will give that same light, same power to you. Okay, verse 15.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Okay, so the light should not be under the bushel or under the table or under any container. That light should be on the stand. So it will give light to the what? Whole house. What should I do to get saved? What he says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and what? Your household. That's what God gives you salvation for. Once you are saved, don't say, I'm not going to tell my mom. I'm not going to tell my dad. I'm not going to tell my wife. I'm not going to tell my husband. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm saved. So the word of God says, whole house should see your light. If you are born again, your whole family should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got saved, my whole family got saved. So the word of God is saying, you should let your light shine in your house. But today's children, they don't bring the light, but they bring darkness. And they overpower mom and dad. And so that is not shining for God. They might be thinking we are much smarter than mom and much smarter than dad. I got a degree. But if you're doing the works of the darkness, you're not shining for God. Your life should shine for Jesus Christ. Let your family, let your neighbor, let your church, let everyone see that you are shining for Jesus Christ. There is nothing shameful Christian life. But the Christian work is not a work of darkness. Christian work is what? The work of light. Let's read the verse 16.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Now what he's trying to say, let your light so shine. Before whom? Before men. Means let the people know you are a child of God. And how can they know? They said, they can see your good works. You don't have to put a band on your head. I am born again. If you start doing good things, people are going to notice. In your job, in your neighborhood, in your church, wherever you go. So let your light shine and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does it mean? Whatever you do good here is recorded there. All your good works are recorded. What you're doing for the Lord, what you're doing for mankind, what you're doing for the glory of God. He says, when you do, Father is excited. God is excited. The word of God says, if you win one soul, what happened? All the angels in heaven, what?
Rejoice.
One soul come to the Lord. Whole angels start rejoicing. And the name of the Lord glorified. So the word of God says, do something for the Lord. What good works you can do? Win souls for Christ. He says, who is wise? He says, who wins the soul, he's wise. So who is doing good work? Wise people do good work. How can you be wise? Read the Bible. Study the Word. The Word of God says, want to be wise? What do? Have the fear of God. Love God. Follow the Lord. You will be wise. And he will give the wisdom. Because the fear of the Lord is what?
Beginning
of the wisdom. So love the Lord, get smart, and get your strength and wisdom from God so you will do good works for the glory of God and Father's name will be glorified. So now, we are living in this world. We are the light of this world. We are doing good works for Christ and people have to see it and glorify God. Where are those people? Let's go and read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Now what he's trying to say? Ye may be blameless and harmless. If you are a child of God, you should be what? Blameless means somebody should not put a blame on you and say, you are doing crooked things, you are doing wrong things, because you should be blameless and harmless. A Christian not supposed to harm somebody. If you are a born again child of God, you should not supposed to harm somebody. Say, then why are we going in a battle and killing others? That is two different things. When you have a government and government tells you to go and have a gun and kill somebody, you are not doing it. You are just obeying the government. Other day I saw the Japanese and American people get together. And then American man says, I didn't kill Japanese. I had the order to kill. They are not my enemy. And the Japanese guy said, I didn't kill you because the order was given. So we are friends and we want to be united. And they are trying to help. Japanese helping Americans, American helping Japanese. They are not having grudge. So this is ordinary people. How are children of God? The Word of God says, if you are a child of God, you should be blameless. You should be harmless. The sons of God. He says, the sons of God. If you are a son of God, you will not harm somebody. You will not destroy somebody. Without rebuke. What does that mean? Somebody should not rebuke you that you're doing something wrong. Child of God will not do anything wrong. So he says somebody should not even rebuke you what you're doing. And where are you? In the midst of the crooked and perverse nation. Where are we living? We are living in the crooked people. Not one person, but it's a crooked whole nation. All around you, people are living in sin, doing crooked things, and we are the light of God shining on those crooked people. Somebody says, don't go to that neighborhood is bad. If you are the light and there is a darkness, you're supposed to go there and take the light of Jesus Christ. We should not be afraid to take the light and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the crooked people, to the people who are taking drugs and alcohol and doing all kinds of wrong things. We're supposed to go there and tell these people, hey, I was just like you. I was taking drugs, I was drinking, and I was smoking, and I was a bad person. Jesus saved me. Jesus changed me. Somebody said the other day, why God allows you to go in all kinds of ways? Sometimes you were smoking and drinking and doing all kinds of things, and when God saves you, then what you do? You go and tell somebody, hey, I was doing all of these things. God allowed you to do all of these things and brought you out of it. So now you should be telling others, I was doing these things. But now I don't do. Why? Now I'm having the life of God and the light of God, and I am shining in the crooked generation. They're not going to defile me. You can put a 10,000 cigarette all around me. Only I will be sneezing or maybe choking, but I would not tempt to take one and put it in my mouth. Why? I cannot take anymore because that is poison for me. And so when you go to the crooked world, tell those people I was doing those things. And those people are saying, how did you get rid of all of these things? Simply receiving Jesus Christ. Nothing you have to do. 10 years for rehab or 5 years for rehab or just how Jesus gives you supernatural power to say no. Amen. It works. It sure worked does. In me.
It sure does.
It will work on you. Among whom ye shine as a light in the world. Where do you shine? You can shine in your house. You can shine in your church. And now you go to the wicked and crooked people and shine there. Oh, I'm saved, but I'm afraid of that kind of person and this kind of person and that color person and this color person. You should not be afraid of anybody. All people are God's people. And all people are crooked people until they come to Jesus Christ. Can be white, they can be brown, they can be green, they can be yellow, they can be purple, brown, any color. They're all born in sin. And we learned last week, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. But they have to come to Jesus Christ. And how we'll go and tell them? Go to the book of Romans chapter 10, 13.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah. It's very simple. He says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it going to be saved automatically? No. And somebody says, I read the word in a book of Acts chapter 16 verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved and your household. Now I'm going to get saved and automatically my household is going to say, no sir, not automatically. When you got saved, now you have a job to do. You tell them how you got saved. Go to your brother, go to your sister, go to your mom, go to your dad, go to your uncle, auntie, and everybody and say how you got saved, how God changed you. Then your family will be saved. The same way he says, God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But how? How they are going to be saved is the answer right here. God says, field is ripe, but the laborers are few. He said, pray that God should send some laborers. Now everybody starts saying, God, send the laborers, send the laborers. Not me, somebody else. Who will go? You remember yesterday we said, God said, who will go? Even though Isaiah was on earth, he said, Lord, send me, I'll go. But Jesus Christ said, I will go. When he says, send the laborers, I read that word. And he says, pray that God should send the laborer. I said, Lord, send me as a laborer. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want to go and do your work. That's what I'm here. I was willing to go and do the Lord's work freely. When I was standing there, the person said, you're not going to get a salary, but you have to give your tears, your sweat, and your blood. Are you ready? I said, yes, sir. I'm ready for Jesus Christ to give my life. I'm not looking for salary. I'm not looking for anything, but I'm looking for giving my life for Jesus Christ. So here the word of God is saying, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How the people are going to believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now people are going to say, oh, God knows everything. And God knows who is going to get saved and who is not going to get saved. Because God knows everything. If God knows everything and every believer starts saying God knows everything, God knows who is going to get saved and God knows who is not going to get saved. Why should I preach? I just sit at home. Whoever wants to get saved, God will save it. Whoever doesn't want to save, God will not save it, right? But here he's saying, okay, go ahead. They have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? What does that mean? They have to hear from you. You have to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. God knows to save everyone. God can save people overnight. Everybody sleeping and next day say, I'm a Christian. Right? God can do it if he wants to. But he says, I want you to preach them because they have a free will. And we cannot make anybody robot. So you go and tell them the whole plan of salvation and let them believe. And let them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the Philippians chapter 2. We read 15, going to read 16. Philippians 2:16.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, you need a preacher. So he said, holding forth the word of life. You know the people having the banners and they go on. Different kinds of banner they have. What banner we have? The word of life. Jesus Christ is called the word of God. Without Jesus there is no life. Without Jesus there is no light. So we are holding forth what? The word of life. And then what he say? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. What does it mean? If you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're doing the Lord's work, what the word of God says? Well done, my son. well done, my servant, and you will get reward. And then he said that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That means you have the reward. You have the crowns. You have the jewels in your crowns. You will get what you did. So the word of God says our labors are not in vain. What you're doing for the Lord, you are going to have a paycheck one day. We already got the eternal life. That's the greatest gift we already got. When you rub the magnet on the metal, metal becomes a magnet. So we have the light of Jesus Christ. Now we became the light of the world. So same thing, you give light to somebody and they will pass it on. So the life of Jesus Christ doesn't vanish away. The light of Jesus Christ doesn't vanish away. It keeps on producing more light. And you are going to get your reward. Okay, let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. St. Paul says, I'm thanking God. Thanking God for what? God has redeemed us, saved us from the darkness. We should be always thanking God where we were and where we came, where we're going. 12 and 13.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Okay. Why he giving thanks? He said, God has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That means we are not ordinary people. Peter, Paul, John, James, all those are saints of God. You have the same kind of invitation to go to heaven and sit with Peter, Paul, and John. We are not ordinary people. He says God has given us grace and made us partakers of the inheritance in the sense, in the light. Those people are living in the light of God. They are shining for Jesus Christ. And if you do something good, you will have your part with them. The people were ahead of us. And book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, it says, we have the cloud of witnesses. Not one, but many went before us. And we are going to follow them. Okay, verse 13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? Who is that? Jesus. Jesus delivered us from the powers of darkness. Once we were in sin, we were in the darkness. We were dying without God and without Christ. And the person who is not saved, he doesn't understand what is the deliverance is all about. When you live in a darkness, you don't find the light. But once you come to the light and give up the things of darkness, then you feel light. You feel, thank God, I'm not under that bondage. I'm not under that burden anymore. I'm free. Because every bad habit has the weakness and slavery. You are bound to something. Certain times you have to take something. You should not be addicted to tea and coffee. If you drink, okay. If you don't drink, you should not have headache. But if you having headache, if you don't drink the tea or coffee, give up. You don't have to have bondage of tea, coffee, any beverage, or any food, or any craving for anything. Because we are not living for food, we are living for God.
Amen.
God will supply the food. We don't live in this world to eat. We are living for God, that's what we are eating. And so the word of God says we should not be bound to anybody. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from all the bondages. If any habit is binding you, you are slave to that habit. And Jesus Christ says, you should be free. The only way you can be free when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness has what? Power. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translated means completely changed. We are not the same people. If somebody doesn't feel the change that he was a sinner and now he is saved, that means something is wrong. We have to feel it in your spirit. I was doing this, now I'm not doing that. I'm completely changed, I'm transformed, I'm living for God. Some good feeling comes. If you're living in sin, you have a bad feeling. If you fight with somebody, you have a bad day next day. You will thinking bad thing. But somebody keep on fighting every day, they have calluses. They don't feel bad. If you do something wrong, whole day you should be worrying. Why did I say something to somebody? Why did I do something wrong? I feel uncomfortable. I feel something missing. I should not be doing this. You should not have calluses doing wrong thing. If you are a born-again child of God, you should be saying, I should not be doing this. Why did I do this? Or if I hurt somebody, what do? Say sorry. So now the word of God saying, people, you all came from out of darkness, and where you are now? The kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. We were in the dark, now we are in the light. Why we came in the light? To proclaim the works of the light and do the good works. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 and what Peter is saying.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. What is he saying? Ye are a chosen generation. You have to think that you are not ordinary person. God has chosen you. I am a special one. I am a child of God. I am his vessel. I am somebody. You know, the people in the world, they are looking for some kind of identification, some kind of degree near their name or some kind of job titles in the application form for something. They say, write your name and title, what you do. So people want to say, I'm a president. I'm a vice president. They want to show something. So the word of God says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Not ordinary priest, royal priesthood. Each and every person, the man of the house, is a priest to his family. So he has responsibility to take care of his children, take care of his family. Now we see in the schools, yesterday I was listening, 9 years old children taking drugs. What kind of drugs they taking? You know, the cough medicine and things like that. And they mix with something and they're taking and they're getting high and things like that. Mother and father do not have even chance. They don't even talk to their children. And children do not talk to their parents. So the children have freedom and parents has no time. Because the father who married to the new lady, he's busy with his wife. And mother who married to another man, she's busy with her life. And the children are tossed around. They don't know anything. They come from school, nobody checked. What is your homework? Did you do anything? Did you eat any food? Did I cook anything for you? Nothing. They enjoy their life, out, come from work, drop your book bag, run, or go somewhere. Come midnight, children are sleeping, go to bed, go early to work, and children they don't even see. This is the life. So what the children are doing? They're doing all kinds of bad things and nobody knows. And I was thinking, the devil has a plan for this kind of things. Devil wants to kill all American children. And so all these activities going on, so the other country can rule this country easily. When your children are gone, a youth is gone, then what you have? Nothing. That generation will be wiped out. Same way the people who are doing abortions, and somebody gave them idea, and who are aborting their children? Poor people. Poor people aborting their children, rich people do not. So all these poor people will be wiped out from the face of the earth. And this is the trick of the devil. And people do not understand why we are killing our children. Why we are destroying our children. Mother and father doing the Lord's work and their children are suffering. I had many chances to go around the world. I didn't go. I took care of my children. I believe someday will come and they will realize and say, my mom, my dad, they worked hard day and night for us and took care of us. There are people dying without God and Christ. What people are doing today, let me see my life. I want to enjoy my life. Who is going to take care of me? You're not thinking about others. People are dying without gospel. They don't know who Jesus is. It's our duty to tell them. Let's finish this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Please read it one more time.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, now he has chosen us. We are royal priesthood, we are peculiar people, we are God's people. So what he's saying? You should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what should you do? We should be thinking, thank God, I was in the darkness. But now I'm a child of God. I'm a special person in the eyes of God. I'm a royal priesthood. So he said, what do you do now? You came out of darkness. You came in the marvelous light. What do you do? Praise God. Thank God. Tell the whole world what God has done. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace. We were dying without God and without Christ. We were in the darkness. You defeated the darkness. You gave us the victory. You gave us your light and your life. Let us shine for Jesus Christ. In this Christmas, the people have all the houses decorated. Light everywhere in their houses outside. But inside is darkness. They are bound to smoking, drinking, and all kinds of sinful activity. The devil is ruling in their house and there is a darkness in their life. Lord Jesus, let our life and our light shine. Let the whole world see Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and the life for the world. Give us grace to shine for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give us your power to do it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.